Good morning, Kingsgate family. Hope you're all keeping well. It's really quite strange to be speaking to you like this today via a recorded message. I won't be able to hear you laugh at my jokes. But praise the Lord for technology. We can continue to worship and pray and grow together in Jesus' name. I think we're adapting, aren't we, to a new normal. So today is the first part of two talks entitled Giant Slayers. Often my talk titles are a bit obscure, aren't they? But today I expect you have a rough idea of what or who I'm going to be talking about. And you'd be sort of kind of partly correct, but I'm not talking about David and Goliath today. But I will be in the second part, which should be on June the 14th. So let's get the joke out of the way, shall we? What do they call a fear of giants? It's fee-fi-phobia. I'll just laugh to myself. Anyway, today I'm going to try and add another giant story into the mix so that we can ask the questions. How can we become giant slayers? Do we need to be giant slayers? Is there a right way or a wrong way? Is there an easy way or a hard way? So this talk reflects the wrong way and the hard way. So for us, what are giants and how can they affect you and I today? So a giant is anything or anybody keeping you from being what God wants you to be or doing what God wants you to do. A giant stops you living in God's promises. Our giants, for example, may be fear, worry, depression, low self-esteem, addiction, loneliness, sickness, an attitude, a sin, an injustice, unbelief, or a mixture of several. You kind of get the gist. Now, with this coronavirus lockdown and isolation, there is a potential for a whole new breed of giants. So a giant always starts or is always born with a lie or out of a lie. So I had to sort of kind of reflect on that statement for a while as to whether that was entirely correct. But do you know what? I'm going to stand by that statement. A giant always starts with a lie and will feed on that lie, seeking out other lies to give it power, to give it energy and size. And all it does is regurgitate more lies that leads to doubt and discouragement. Perhaps as I'm speaking, you can name your giant or giants. Maybe not. Maybe you can see them blocking your path to freedom, blocking your path to Jesus, mocking, taunting, lying, stealing, cheating, looming large before you. What is your giant? So what can we do? And what can we learn from the Bible? Is there a right way and a wrong way to deal with a giant so that we can ultimately become giant slayers? So instead of talking about David and Goliath, today I want to talk about the potential giant slayers that foreshadowed David. So in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, you might like to read them later, is the story of Moses sending the 12 spies at God's request into the land that God had promised them, into the promised land. The 12 chosen men were all leaders one from each tribe, and they went into the promised land for 40 days and returned to give their report. You can find their report in Numbers 13, verse 33. And this is what they said. The giants are too large for us to conquer. We are like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. So how interesting. It says, in their own sight. The NIV version says, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own sight, or we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. They have decided this in their own minds. Have they made the people bigger in their head? No. They have decreased and diminished their own size with every negative word, and made themselves grasshoppers in their own sight. These giants now stand between them and God's promises. And because of that, they stand between them and the promised land. They stand between them and God's promised land. To make matters worse, they spread their fears and assumptions to the Israelites, who begin to listen and start to see these huge, insurmountable giants in light of their imagined diminished size. And they fall into fear. They forget all the amazing miracles God performed for them to get them out of Egypt. How impossible that situation looked. The giants that God dealt with to fulfill those promises were huge. God was faithful and true. The 12 spies were sent into the land to gather information, not to determine whether they could get victory or not. God had already promised victory and the land. God did not need their opinion as to whether it was possible or not. Have you ever had times when you thought God really needs to know your opinion? How impossible something is and why it will never happen and why it will never change? Have you ever had times when you thought that God really needs a reality check? Does he not understand? God, this giant is just far too big. More often than not, we don't verbalise it like that, do we? But we say it in our behaviour and in our reactions. But I've got some good news for you. A giant always seems bigger than it is. But remember this, it is never ever bigger or greater than God. Amen to that. We read in Numbers 4:14, verses 6 to 9, that Joshua and Caleb understood this and were the only two that came back and said, yes, the land is good. God will bring us into this land and give it to us. Do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people. Their protection has departed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. They say, do not fear them twice. Therefore, there is an emphasis on this statement. It's very important. Fear feeds giants. Can you see the difference in the reactions? Can you hear the difference in what is being spoken out? Can you see the different power of each of these statements that each one holds? One for defeat and one for victory. The tongue is a powerful weapon. Will we use it for blessing or curses? Will we use it for life or death? The people chose to listen to the majority. It's always easier, isn't it, to listen to the majority, to go with the flow. But a majority doesn't make anything right. You will see if you read later on that unfortunately their rebellion and unbelief cost a whole generation God's promise. For 40 years, the giants, which are now their disobedience and unbelief, stood in their way. And they remained in the wilderness 1 year for every day that the disbelieving spies were in the promised land. Of that generation, only Joshua and Caleb entered the promised land. Joshua went on to become a great man of God and a great leader. Joshua eventually led the Israelites into the promised land, but only after the 10 other spies and Moses had died. Joshua did it in obedience and was arguably given by God one of the most weird and obscure set of instructions to conquer Jericho. But he trusted and he believed God's promises. In Joshua 21, verse 45, it says, "Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled." That's just amazing. In Numbers 14, verse 24, God says of Caleb, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." What an inheritance. I love that bit though. "Because he has a different spirit in him." And it's very significant. I mean, it's one to meditate on, isn't it? He has a different spirit in him. And this is why it's significant. Caleb and Joshua were giant slayers in their spirit before they physically conquered any giants. I'm going to say that again. Caleb and Joshua were giant slayers in their spirit before they physically conquered any giants. Wow. There's the difference. So, are we called to be giant slayers? I think we are. What do you think? To live in God's promises, we have to be giant slayers. To have a different spirit in us, His Holy Spirit. Even today, the story of the 12 spies shows us that our reasoning can deceive us into believing we have lost the battle before it starts. There is no hope with our giant, is what we start to believe. Nothing can or will ever change when, in fact, we are promised victory. How do I know that? Because His word says so. That's how. Hallelujah and amen to that statement. His word and His promises are key weapons when slaying giants. Our weapon of choice should be God's word, God's promises. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." There are so many promises in God's word. How could I pick just a few? Evidently, there are approximately 7,487 promises from God in the Bible. I think that sounds more than enough, don't you? And I can guarantee that there is a promise in his word that will cover any issues that you have. Promises that will cut down any giant. They are promises of our victory. So, go Googling, guys. Just type in scriptures for healing, scriptures for anxiety, scriptures for worry, scriptures for doubt. Whatever. Whatever you can think of. I mean, I gave it a bit of a whirl, and literally you can type in anything. Scriptures for anything, and it comes up. There are even scriptures and promises available on YouTube, which I thought was brilliant, so that we can listen to them being spoken over us. Some Bibles even have a section detailing scriptures for different circumstances. So, guys, go fish. Moving on. Our perception will determine our level of victory. That's a tough one. But remember this, a vision and calling goes beyond just you and the here and now. It's for the future too. Caleb belonged to the tribe of Judah, the same tribe as King David. You could say that Caleb pioneered the way for a young giant slayer to rise up hundreds of years later to stand on the promises of God and defeat the giant at a time and in a way that nobody expected. We were not created by God with a grasshopper complex. His creation of each of us is just too awesome and it's just too big. We are called to have a different spirit in us, the Holy Spirit. That's what makes us giant slayers and history makers. Then, get this, and I love this thought, giant slayers will then produce giant slayers. I believe that we have an opportunity during this lockdown, a bit like an enforced wilderness, and no harm ever came of being in the wilderness. The Bible shows us that too. To slay our giants and rise up as giant slayers, to be equipped for the days ahead, and a new generation of believers that I believe are coming out of this situation. God certainly wasn't taken by surprise by COVID-19. And the whole thing has a feel about it of something shifting in the spirit. We need to be ready. So I'm going to close now with a prayer. A prayer that I'd like to speak over you. That was written by an American lady called Elaine Tavolacci. So perhaps you may like to close your eyes, hold out your hands, and come into agreement and receive a giant slayer anointing. Father God, we thank you for your word, the promises it holds, and the power they both carry. We want to be giant slayers for your glory, and we receive this prayer that you are speaking over us. The Lord says to you, I have created you to be a giant slayer. Never allow the enemy to magnify the negative situations in your life, and don't look at the giants as unconquerable. Do not see yourself as inadequate, but know that you are well able to overcome any obstacle that stands before you and fulfill any assignment that I have called you to do. Go forth as Joshua and Caleb, knowing that you are well able to possess the land. Do not fear, but go forth in what I have commissioned you to do. Don't be led by your natural senses or your physical limitations. Your present circumstances may be overwhelming, but observe every situation in the light of my word. The weapons of your warfare are not natural weapons, and I have provided mighty spiritual weapons for you to tear down strongholds and annihilate any giant that rises against you. Don't be intimidated by the vastness of your challenges, and don't allow your natural circumstances to steer you in a neutral gear. Gird up your loins of your mind when threatened with adversity. You have been equipped to defeat any giant that rises up against you. Thank you, Kingsgate family. I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favour and give you peace.